back at it on this Tuesday. It's the Steve Guru Show. You're in the no panic zone. Good to have you here. My next guest is Peter Pitts, former FDA Associate Commissioner, President and co-founder of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much.
Good to have you in the no panic zone. We'll get through this together. I want to talk to you about some of the drugs, some of the breakthroughs. We had a gentleman on the program yesterday morning, a 38-year-old COVID-19 survivor from the Henry Ford Hospitals in Macomb County here in southeastern Michigan, where the big outbreaks are happening here in Michigan, if you will. Day three in the hospital, thought he was going to drown, didn't think he would live until midnight in the morning. He was given the hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pack, azithromycin. He said it was almost a miracle. Turned him right around in a couple of hours. He went home 3 days later. He's home recovering now in isolation. Said there's no question in his mind, saved his life. And they said other medical professionals, he was dealing with nurses and doctors in the hospital at the time, said other patients were also responding to the malaria drugs and so forth. It's now been approved by the FDA. What do you make of the malaria treatment for this COVID-19?
Well, actually, just a correction. It has not been approved by the FDA. The FDA has given it emergency authorization. It's okay. A distinction with a difference. But it's really incredibly important that we now are beginning to have therapeutics to treat people that have the disease, make the symptoms less severe, and make the actual virus last a shorter amount of time. Someone in the hospital with a very serious case of COVID-19 is exactly the right type of person that this emergency authorization was designed to help.
For the layperson, though, Peter, in fairness, for the layperson, the FDA green-lighted the use of the drug. Is that a fair way to put it?
They gave doctors the ability to use the drug for patients where they see fit.
So let me ask you this.
It's not the same thing as a approval, but
as
a purpose for people in the hospital, it ends up being the same thing.
Well, because here's my question. The governor here in Michigan last week basically threatened doctors with their medical license if they prescribed that regimen. Same thing happened in Nevada and Arizona, I believe. So does the federal directive then from the FDA, who takes precedent here? If you have a patient that's sick in Michigan, which this guy got obviously the drugs prescribed while they were not supposed to be, that apparently the doctors are ignoring the declaration from the governor here. I wonder what kind of concerns the doctors have, though, legally, lawfully.
Right. Yeah. Well, clearly, from a patient perspective, the doctor should always be in control. From a legal perspective, the feds trump the state. So any governor that's saying that doctors can't use this treatment right now are going directly against the FDA directive, and they need to change course immediately so that these patients can be helped in hospital.
Right. And you think it's working. I mean, it's not just the guy I talked to. I've read other stories and heard other anecdotal stories from people that I know inside of health systems here in Michigan where the same regimen is working. I'm not saying it works every time,
sure,
but it is working. Go ahead.
Well, the plural of anecdote isn't data, and the FDA is clearly collecting data a number of different ways, but we have to do what's right, and we live in desperate times, and it calls for desperate measures. The drugs that are being used are safe for other purposes, so it's not as though you're pumping the toxic chemicals into people. The FDA understands what these products are. Doctors are beginning to understand that they need more tools for people in hospital beyond just ventilators and nursing care, and that's exactly what's happening, not just with hydrochloroquine and azithromycin, but also other therapeutics that are coming online. And also what's interesting is as more people come out through the other end of the COVID tunnel, their blood plasma can be used, titrated properly as a sort of vaccine. So there are a lot of tools now that are coming online for doctors. That's really good news.
And in fact, that method you just talked about has been used for decades. I mean, it makes you resistant to the illness. It's not permanent. It's not like a vaccine, but it's for a while, right?
Exactly right. In fact, it's centuries old. That was the original concept behind the smallpox vaccine, to lightly put the disease into somebody so they can get over it and then be immune. So we're beginning to understand what's happening here. So, obviously now we want to test more people to see if they've got the virus, but even more importantly, what's going to happen is we need to test people to see if they've already had it. Not only for their plasma, that's called convalescent plasma, but also so that those people can get outside and get back to work and become part of the economy. And they're going to be coming out of the tunnel as quickly as they went into the tunnel. And it's a huge amount of people. We need to figure out geographically when states and municipalities can change their views on sheltering in place and social distancing. So we're learning a lot very fast.
Peter Pitts here, former FDA Associate Commissioner. How long would you anticipate, Peter, for somebody to come up with a test so you could find the antibodies, i.e. find people that have had the illness, maybe they knew it, maybe they didn't know it, but they're resistant to it, and therefore they've got an immunity system that can send them back out to the world to go to work. How long do you see a test like that?
Well, those tests already exist. It can be found through through basic blood work, and we're going to have to radically expand our ability to do a variety of tests, both for that, you know, antibody as well as for whether you have COVID or not. And the testing facilities are going to be overcrowded, but the tests exist. We need to figure out a way to get them to the people that need them. You know, right now we've got a point of care test for COVID that will take only 5 minutes, can be done in a doctor's office. We need to do a similar type of testing regimen so people can find out whether they've already passed through, because a lot of people will have had COVID and never even had symptoms. So we have to identify these people so that they understand, you know, where they stand and how their lives can continue and how that is multiplied, you know, times hundreds of thousands of people across the country.
Peter, and I want to back up just one moment here. Peter Pitts, former FDA Associate Commissioner here in the No Panic Zone on the Steve Gruber Show, giving you solid information about what lies ahead. Not just the anti-malarials, but there are some other drugs that are showing some promise, a whole host of them, HIV AIDS drugs that are showing some success in New York and some patients I've seen and some other things. What else is out there?
Well, we're definitely looking at, you know, existing antiviral drugs, drugs that were looked at, for example, to help combat Ebola, which we solved through a vaccine. So I think people are beginning to take very seriously the whole variety of existing medicines that are already safe and effective that can be repurposed, as well as for some drugs that have not yet even been approved for anything that might be brought to bear against COVID. You know, we've got to really broaden our horizons here. When government and physicians and industry really get together and work as a team, it's amazing what we can accomplish. It's when
absolutely
you throw
true
up silly political barriers that problems start to happen.
Yeah. Last question is this. When it comes to these anti-malarials, because if you look at a map of the world and countries that take, you know, anti-malarials as a regular course of their lives, the COVID-19 outbreaks are much less serious. I mean, you can lay the maps one on top of each other and go, wow, that's pretty dramatic. So my question is about prophylactic use of these drugs. We got 30 million, 31 million donated doses to the United States. How easy is that drug to manufacture, to ramp up? I mean, is it something that's really difficult? Is it something that's doable? I don't know. And so
well,
I ask you.
Well, hydrochloroquine, for example, is not a difficult drug to make. We know it's been around for a very long time. But, you know, one of the key things to be aware of here is not to cause the unintended consequence of having shortages. Because, for example, hydrochloroquine is used for people with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. So you want to make sure that those people have access to their products. So not everybody that gets COVID is going to require that type of treatment. You know, people that are in hospital that have serious cases, absolutely positively, like the guy you mentioned earlier in the interview. So I think we've got to understand that. Again, just because these drugs exist, just because you might have COVID-19, doesn't mean that you should run to your doctor and ask for a prescription.
Fair enough. Great bit of information. I truly appreciate you being here. Level heads and hard work will get us through all of this. I truly believe that.
And no panicking.
You got it. That's why you're in the no panic zone, Peter. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There you have it. Peter Pitts, former FDA Associate Commissioner in the no panic zone, telling you the truth. We need more testing. We need to figure out who has already been through it so they can go back to work. Where do you find the No Panic Zone? Only on the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over 1 million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
The Roxor Beast of a Sales event is here right now. Get $1,250 off of a 2019 Roxor and an extra year of warranty. That's an industry-leading 3 years of warranty. But then what else would you expect from a side-by-side unlike any other? Roxor is hand-assembled in the USA with a steel body, box steel frame, and a four-cylinder Mahindra turbo diesel engine. Plus, with a truck-like beltless transmission, you can expect less downtime and more off-road time. Hurry. The Roxor Beast of a Sales event is only for a limited time.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes.
I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.